Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here this morning and to follow such excellent presentations, all very fascinating findings in these studies. I'm based at Boston Children's Hospital and the Harvard School of Public Health, and I'm going to be talking today about stigma and sexual orientation and how that relates to health-related quality of life. I want to thank my co-authors, some in the room today, this morning. I have no disclosures. And I'd like to acknowledge the many thousands of young people participating in the Growing Up Today study, which is where the research is based, the many researchers that are part of the team and our funders. As everyone in the room knows, stigma against sexual minorities is very well documented, and we just saw some new documentation of different kinds of stigma experiences around the world. Stigma is associated with adverse health outcomes in a number of different domains. The research is very solid in this area. Substance use, PTSD, depression, and many other areas we know are affected by the stigma that sexual minorities experience. We also know that sexual minority adults and youth have lower health-related quality of life in an accumulating body of research looking at this kind of indicator of health status. We know from two studies that bullying victimization is linked to lower health-related quality of life. One study was done cross-sectionally with sexual minority youth, finding an association between bullying victimization and lower health-related quality of life. And then importantly, another study looked at this relationship prospectively. And this was a study in a general population. It wasn't sexual orientation specific. And this study found bullying experienced in childhood was associated with lower health-related quality of life many decades later in adulthood. We don't know much about the long-term effects of this kind of stigma that adolescent sexual minorities experience in terms of how that will affect health-related quality of life in adulthood. So that's where we picked up our study. The objectives of our research were to first examine the sexual orientation disparities in health-related quality of life in young adulthood, so specific to that period in the cohort where we're doing our research, and then to evaluate the possible contribution of stigma of different forms experienced during adolescence and that contribution to sexual orientation disparities in health-related quality of life in young adulthood. We carried out our work in the Growing Up Today study. This is an ongoing longitudinal cohort of adolescent girls and boys across the United States. It's made up of two sub-cohorts. GUTS is actually the name the youth picked when they were early adolescents. Now that they're young adults, they probably would pick another name. But originally, they were ages 9 to 14 and enrolled, a good age to prefer GUTS. GUTS 1 was begun in 1996, GUTS 2 in 2004, and then we've combined the data now that they're older. So as I mentioned, they were all 9 to 14 at enrollment, and now having followed them many, many years, they are now ages 18 to 31 across the two sub-cohorts of GUTS. They're all children of nurses, participating in the Nurses' Health Study 2, which is a very large prospective cohort of women's health. Around 27,000 youth were enrolled in GUTS, and the cohort is 94% of white race ethnicity, and that's a limitation I'll come back to later. We collect data through self-report questionnaires that are administered originally administered on paper, and now the majority of participants do the surveys online annually and sometimes biannually. The questionnaires include many, many topics. The ones I'll be focusing on today are sexual orientation in young adulthood, health-related quality of life in young adulthood, and then prior experiences of bullying victimization in adolescence, and prior experiences with self-perceived social status in adolescence. Our primary predictor is based on one used originally in the Minnesota studies from the 1990s. It's a single item that addresses both identity and attraction together. The question asks, which one of the following best describes your feelings? The options are completely heterosexual, mostly heterosexual, bisexual, and then mostly homosexual and completely homosexual, which we combined into a single group of lesbian or gay because of sample sizes. We don't include the non-insured group in this particular analysis because by young adulthood that group is very small. But in when they're at younger ages, we have used the not sure like Emily did in her presentation. The main outcome measure is of health-related quality of life using the EQ5D5L, which was originally called Euroqol. It's a validated generic instrument, meaning it's not specific to a disease. The quality of life if someone has diabetes or something else. This is generic. It's appropriate for use with U.S. youth and adults. And I want to make a note about something that's very valuable about this particular measure. It's designed to be used in economic analysis and cost effectiveness analysis. What it can do is help researchers monitor changes in health-related quality of life that may be due to an intervention, and then use that information to estimate gains in quality of adjusted life years, which then can be linked to cost to get cost effectiveness analysis. And while I'm not presenting a cost effectiveness study right now, I wanted to highlight this because this is something that I think is so important about this particular measure, and I'm going to be recommending ways to be using it in the future because of these strengths. This measure assesses health-related quality of life in five dimensions: mobility, self-care, usual activities, pain or discomfort, and anxiety or depression. The response options are in five levels, ranging from none to severe problems. The way these scores are summarized, they refer to that as a utility score. It brings information together across the five dimensions. It's tailored to the U.S. population, the version we're using, and the values range from 0 to 1. So keep that in mind, that the highest score, perfect health, would be a 1. Lowest score would be death or near death, very impaired. This measure we used on the survey in 2013 when participants were ages 18 to 31 years. We looked at two potential mediators that represent different forms of stigma. The first one is bullying victimization. We used the validated World Health Organization Health Behavior School Age Children Study measure that they've used in 28 nations. The item asks, during the past year, how often have you been bullied? And the response options range from never to several times a week. And the item was administered to GUTS participants when most of them were in high school, and it asked about the high school experience. A second mediator we examined, another way of thinking about stigma, is self-perceived social status using the MacArthur scale of subjective social status, so the youth version, which had been validated in GUTS. The participants are asked to rank their self-perceived status in their own school, ranging from 1 to 10. And this item also was administered when most participants were in high school, so they were referring to the high school experience. For our analyses, we conducted longitudinal multivariable OLS to examine, first to look simply at sexual orientation group patterns in health-related quality of life in young adulthood, and then the main focus was on using adolescent experiences of bullying victimization and self-perceived social status in high school as contributors to orientation disparities in health-related quality of life years later in young adulthood. We used the completely heterosexual group as the referent, controlling for gender, age, GUTS cohort, and used analytic methods to account for sibling clusters, because GUTS participants, many have siblings in the cohort. Our sample included 7,299 participants. We needed one more to make it a nice even number there. The sexual orientation group patterns by young adulthood, we found 82% were completely heterosexual. We had 13% describing themselves as mostly heterosexual, 2% as bisexual, and 3% as lesbian and gay. And I noticed in the YRBS data from high school, you mentioned, Emily, that over 8% of the young women describe themselves as bisexual. In our cohort, because we have the mostly heterosexual option, I'm guessing that some of those are getting dispersed across that group and then in the bisexual group. So the next three slides show bar charts color-coded to represent the different groups. You'll see they're set up the same way, with the color coding. The lime green represents the completely heterosexual group, which is the referent in the analyses. The yellow represents the mostly heterosexual group, red the bisexual group, and the light blue the lesbian or gay group. The percents up on the y-axis there, and what I'm presenting here are the percent reporting ever having been bullied in the past year, split by sexual orientation group. And we see that all the bars, yellow, red, and light blue, are higher than the green bar, and we see sexual minorities reporting higher rates of having been bullied. This next bar chart presents scores on self-perceived social status in adolescents. And I want to call attention here that the way we use it in the Growing Up Today study, higher score actually represents lower status. I want to flag that because that's counterintuitive, but that's how we have it set up in our models. So having a higher bar here also represents a worse experience, in this case lower status. The completely heterosexuals are the green bar here, and we see the sexual minority groups all are reporting lower status. That is, the bars are higher there. Now this is the last bar chart before I get to the multivariable models. This bar chart shows the mean utility score, which is the way they refer to that summary score on the EQ5D representing health-related quality of life. Now remember, the possible range is 0 to 1. The participants are all young adults, and it's a population sample. It's not a hospital-based sample. So we see the scores in general are very high. That's why they're coming up close to 1 here, and that's what we'd expect to see in a generally healthy young adult population. But what we do see is lower bars for the sexual minorities. And these differences also are significant. In this case, higher score means higher quality of life. So having a lower bar is worse off. And all the sexual minority groups are showing lower health-related quality of life compared to the completely heterosexuals in the lime green bar. Now the next two slides, I'll show the results from our multivariable models, where we're controlling for age, gender, and cohort, and comparing across sexual orientation groups with completely heterosexual as the referent. And you'll see here in the rows below completely heterosexual, the effect estimates for mostly heterosexual, bisexual, and lesbian and gay, where we are estimating the utility score or the health-related quality of life score. The negative values indicate the decrements and the size of the decrements that we're seeing are significant for mostly heterosexual, bisexual, and lesbian and gay, all of them ranging from 0.04 as a decrement to 0.07 for the bisexual group of lower scores. Now this final model is where we are looking at the contribution of bullying victimization happening years prior and self-perceived social status in high school happening years prior. What we see here is both of those experiences of stigma and active stigma, and then the social status variable, also are significant and are associated with reduced health-related quality of life. Then you see that in the bottom two rows. What you see above that for each of the sexual orientation groups is some attenuation of the effect estimates associated with sexual minority status. And the attenuation was on the order of 10%, in some cases a little bit more, suggesting that the bullying victimization experience and lower social status are contributing to what we're seeing in health-related quality of life disparities in young adulthood several years later. So what we found, in summary, is that health-related quality of life was lower in sexual minorities versus the heterosexuals, and this is consistent with what other studies have begun to find, and that we're finding this even in young adulthood, when generally health-related quality of life is bumping up against the very high end. This difference here in quality of life was partially explained by stigma experienced in adolescence. The bullying victimization and low self-perceived social status both attenuated, contribute to attenuation of that effect. There were some limitations I wanted to mention about the Growing Up Today study cohort. They're a cohort of children of nurses. We have a truncated socioeconomic range in the cohort because their mothers all were working as professional nurses at the time they were enrolled in the study. Over 90% of the cohort is white race ethnicity, and this limits our generalizability to low, very low, or very high socioeconomic groups and communities of color. Other possible predictors weren't included in the models, such as obesity, child abuse, or orientation changes. And health-related quality of life is very high in young adulthood. We don't know if these disparities will be the same, if they'll be broader or narrowed as people age. A few strengths I want to mention. It's a large sample of youth living throughout the United States. It's a longitudinal study of adolescent predictors of young adult orientation disparities. And this quality of life measure that we used is appropriate for cost effectiveness analysis and can inform future evaluations of anti-stigma interventions, which is what we want to see done. A few implications. Health-related quality of life disparities evident in young adulthood could signal worsening problems with age. We need interventions to reduce stigma, to reduce bullying and discrimination. And we need a rigorous evaluation of any kind of intervention that's trying to do this work, because we need to be able to document what the effects are. And including a health-related quality of life measure like the one that we have here will allow us to also calculate cost effectiveness, which is so important for any communications with policymakers about programs that we want to scale up to reduce stigma, bullying, and discrimination. Thank you.